C1A, number 23A.
See, the bus is always a bit noisy. this tone of truth, I think, is so practical and so important for us. As I said, for it's not enough to have a big God. But what we need is that true man in us become big. So that, as Jesus shows, that when the spiritual man in us is being born, that this spiritual man has a tremendous, universal, far-reaching, penetrating effect, because it is God's ideal. And God's ideal is without time and without space. It is. It just always be. It is before Abraham was, and it will be in a million years. And I can't be grateful enough to see the order in which we can give birth to this idea of man in us. If we compare the beginning and the end of this subject, we can see that it starts with Mary's perception and concept. And it ends with an enormous universal sense of manhood. Doesn't end with Jesus. See, that's why Mary could see right at the beginning when the promise came to her that she would have a child, that she could say that all the nations of the earth will call her blessed. I don't know the exact English text, but you will remember how in Luke she saw that. She could see that all the nations, the whole world, for time immemorial, will bless her for that. Now, we don't have to take that personal and say there was once a Mary for once and all. But there was once a Mary who for the first time could go further than just life, but could see that if she could go to the Father and could see that God alone is life, that would bring forth something in her, which is of a universal, eternal, unrestricted, illimitable blessing. Now, why shouldn't we be Mary? We have to be Mary. We have to be a Mary. And if we don't want to be a Mary, love, the next subject of tomorrow, will force us to be a Mary. Love will just not let us rest and be happy and quiet and satisfied until we are a Mary. Because it is in love's plan to bring out true manhood. It's just as it is in the plan of mathematics to bring out the full concept of all the calculations. At the beginning of the chapter, perhaps you have noticed that, or else you may be helped by it. She says so often that Jesus helped us to understand atonement. She shows that man is fundamentally at one, but that Jesus helps us to see that at one. And so it is with Mary. She helps us to see how to give birth to that at one. And the textbook, as it is now, as we see it now, is again such a help, which helps us to see the order in which we come to this at one. How? You may say, well, I'll start again all over. I do that. I do that for myself. And you know, every time I do that, I stand there and I think, I wonder what comes out. I wonder what I see now more. I wonder what the revelation of truth. You see, it says that Jesus was the outcome of the revelation of truth. I start all over again and I worship that. And I see, all right, let us free ourselves of that sense that we are a mortal, a little finger, one pebble on the beach, a beach which is very big, and a little pebble, insignificant. The wind goes over it, and nobody talks about it anymore, takes any more notice. No, that is immortal. But there is man. And that man, I can't help but bring that out. Sooner or later, love will force me to bring that out. How? And you see that it develops in the same way as the Gospel of Matthew develops. If you compare this statement here with the Gospel of Matthew, you see that the Gospel of Matthew tells you the same story. That first in Truth's mind, it tells you the story that there is a long genealogy of Jesus, but that it was broken. And that Mary came in, who had no genealogy. And Mary gave birth without Joseph to Jesus. Mary broke the genealogy of the mortal mind, of the mortal development. She went right back to life, to God. And just as Mr. Jenny shows here, she perceived the fatherhood of God and called that ideal a savior. That's beginning salvation. And Matthew shows you afterwards in the second subject of spirit that Jesus was endowed as the Son of God with the Spirit, and you have the three baptisms, and in the first baptism, the baptism of Spirit, where the Spirit of God descended upon him, where he was endowed in the full measure with Spirit. Here in the text of the Atonement Eucharist, it says Jesus but took partly of Mary's earthly condition. So he was endowed with the divine Spirit without measure. Now that is the point, that as we begin with truth of mind to begin to see, all right, I start with life, God, and see that only that which flows from life, God, now it's the last recorder is finished. Well, I don't know, but I think it's just animal magnetism, that's all about it. Well, these recorder meetings all over the world do such a lot of good, and if mortal mind can stop it, it will stop it. It nearly stopped me from coming here, but it couldn't. So they stop now these funny little machines. But we have four, you see, and one always runs. Now, you just leave it, huh? You just leave it. We'll do it afterwards. Yes, we'll do it afterwards. But the nice thing, you see, because at the point of truth at soul, the devil comes in and tries to stop it. And he came to Jesus as the devil, leading him into the wilderness. But he wasn't fooled by it. And he showed in the temptation in the wilderness that he was able to withstand every attempt. He just couldn't anymore be anything else but himself, the divine identity, that's the first. Then, just as Mrs. Eddy shows, you see, in Truth of Soul, shows that in Truth of Soul, Jesus couldn't do anything anymore but bless even his enemies. And in the Matthew, it shows that then all the angels served him. In Matthew, as Truth of Principle, you have the Sermon on the Mount, you have the platform of humanity. You have that platform which binds mankind into solemn union. Well, it's that which Mrs. Eddy says in Truth of Principle here, and says, Jesus acknowledged no ties of the flesh. He only acknowledged the relationship of Spirit. And he said, only those are my brethren and sisters who do the will of God. He shows a new relationship of man to man and man to prince. Then in Matthew, you come to the fifth subject of life. Truth is life, where he began to heal, the healing power, where man has dominion over the earth. Here in the Atonement Eucharist, he shows the same, that the first thing Jesus taught his disciples was the healing power of truth. And then shows them how to lay down the mortar, the Eucharist, and said, drink ye all of it. So there in Matthew, in that point, Jesus said, the Son of Man has to go. The sixth subject in Matthew was that of the Christ, where for the first time he unveiled himself as the Christ. And where he showed that all circumstances in his life just worked together to bring out his manhood, Christ's manhood. It's just as here she says in Atonement Eucharist, in Truth of Truth, she says that if we give up everything for the Christ, then God is with us, and then it revolutionizes the world, and then it will bring in the millennium. And so in the last point, you have the ascension and the resurrection. The resurrection and the ascension as man held in God. As man, which is no more personal, but held in God. Just as here. But you can see for yourself that parallel. But really, what is more important is to see that this is not one and the only example, the one and the only possibility. Just one example out of all the possibilities. And what would happen, you see, if we would really mean business and would go through those tones every day, morning, noon, night, and equipped with prayer, and equipped with the willingness to lay down our false unity through the first five tones of Atonement Eucharist, to be willing to let down our unity with mortal mind, to let down our unity with the flesh and matter, to let down our unity with wavering and being inconsistent and we would let down our unity with personal views, with theological views, with rituals and so on. And if we would let down our unity with our sense of life and what life consists of, we would do those five first practices in prayer, in Atonement and Eucharist, then we would have cleared the way and taken off from our mental attitude, all that which has to be taken off in our marriage, and then it would start. Then we would get into that freedom. Where we see, all right, truth as mine, what does it say? It says, there is one eternal life, Father, who has always been at work, always And what he does is always mighty good. That's where we start with saving folks. There is nothing in our cause, in our origin, which is not divine, which is not life, real life. And then let's have the tenderness, truth of spirit. Let's have the tenderness, though this idea is faintly developed, though it is not big yet in our consciousness, though it is humanly seen small, we know that it is endowed with the divine spirit and without measure. It comes from God. Just to conceive of that, not more is asked at first, and just to conceive of that, that this divine spirit, that Holy Ghost, flowing and flooding us, flooding that seed of idea of God, that seed that God is the only creator of us, just flooding it and making it mature and bringing it birth and making it big. Then, as we do that, we have the feeling that the material way of life, material order of generation, silent. That the material career, that the material way of living and so on is just silent. That they just, and just see, what's the use of it? What's the use of it? There's no value in it. And as we do that, and value that, and mother that, and be the Mary of it, then we can be sure that the Christ manhood in us begins to speak. Christ comes then. Then comes Peter Jesus, then comes Max Jesus, then comes Betty Jesus, and then comes Mary Jesus, whatever you are called. Max Christ, and Betty Christ, and Peter Christ, and Teddy Christ, John Christ, whatever you are called, your Christhood, the Christhood of yourself, begins to talk, to contact you. Just come to talk, the Christ of ourselves begins to talk, says, I am the individual ideal of this truth, of this Savior, of this man. And I am what I am. I am never going to be anything but what I am. I say what I am, I am constant with what I am what I am, but I can only be the blessing of spirit. I can't do anything else. I just, something in us speaks, Christ in us begins to speak, and just speaks and says, well, I only see the ideal man, and therefore I only can see the ideal man in his bigness and his grandeur, and the mortal disappears. And as I do that, I feel, well, then there is only one man. Truth of principle, the generic man. There is only one man, namely that man which is born now of God, and that's the only man. That's the gender man. There is no other man but that gender man, that gender man. And then comes the truth. Then something in me speaks and says, well, if only that which comes from principle is man, to whomever it comes, only that is man. That demands the sacrament, drinking the cup, taking up the cross. That demands that we let go of our way of living, of our way of being man. That son of man that has to go. And it is a struggle. It looks like a struggle. It was for Jesus as a struggle. It was a bitter experience, a day of gloom, but the bright promise crowns well. What is that promise? Truth of truth. The promise that crowns that state of truth of life is really shown so beautiful that truth is truth. Just ponder it perhaps again. It shows that as we are willing to leave all for that Christ truth, as we really say to God, not my will be done, but thine be done. Let thy spirit be represented. Do with me what you like to do with me. Use me the way you like me to use. Don't ask me if I like it or don't like it. Don't ask me if that is agreeable to me or not agreeable. Use me. Then, if that is the case, if we fulfill truth as life, then truth as truth says, well, that very consciousness, that very consciousness, that's the Christ, is revolutionizing the world, bringing the millennium. It's blessing the whole world. It raises not only yourself, but everybody. Your resurrection is their resurrection. Your understanding is their understanding. Your demonstration becomes their demonstration. And your resurrection becomes their insight into the infinite possibility. That's the promise of it. And how far-reaching is that promise? Truth of love comes and says, well, that's an ideal. A perfect ideal. Perfect. It has no more anything to do with you or me or he or she. It's an idea of God. And it says, from Jesus over the disciples to the Christian scientists to our age. It's universal. I speak of it. as is ours. And to that business, each one of us can refer how stupid it is to be bothered about little problems. How small would we be if we would be worrying about today and tomorrow, about this problem and that little disharmony and that little disharmony. It's not worthwhile. It doesn't come up to stand it. Why are we not giving birth to that? Why are we running after smallness? And believe me, it can be done. I know it can be done. Because I have felt that that's just the beginning. And if the beginning can be touched, the whole can be touched. That's fine. In science, if we can touch the beginning, we touch the whole. So let's be an alien first. And then the Jesus in us grows, becomes sturdy, becomes strong, and speaks for itself. Then Mary is no more next. Then Jesus, and then Jesus lays down the mortal. And as Jesus lays down the mortal, he's no more Jesus. Then it's the Christ. Truth is truth, so it's the Christ. Where the Christ expresses fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood to the whole universe. Where manhood, the Christ manhood of us, then begins father the universe, to sonship the universe, and to mother the universe. He mothered the disciples. They were resurrected. They were taken out of the rut of their fish and so on. He took them out. He resurrected. It's one idea. Man is one idea, the compound idea. And that idea always culminates in truth as love, perhaps too big for us to perceive, grasp, and when just feels, well, it is a fact, perfect fact. And a perfect fact has no time, it has no space, it has no limit, it has no material concomitance, it is just perfect. Now, I think the world must call us blessed. I think the next century must call us blessed for seeing this and for being willing to accept it. It must. Mary at her time didn't see her promise fulfilled physically, materially, humanly. Mary only saw her ideal on a cross, a man of shame. She would hear today, she could see what she had done. But with spiritual things, if they are scientific, one doesn't need to know the human accompaniment of a promise. In spiritual things, if we see that this subject with pure mind and purely, we are satisfied that it is so, and that the later centuries call us blessed. There is no way out. There is no other way. Because we see the signs of it, and we can give it birth. And the freedom that must come on each one of us to see that what happened with our birth, with our past, with our education, with our present mode of living, with our present job and occupation, that all that is only the earthly accompaniment. Can you say that? The earthly partaking just a little bit of the earthly shadow. But that isn't what's really happening to us. Really happening to us, the moment we have begun to see the spiritual nature of man is a million times bigger. And when the bones and flesh have been a good meal to some worms, then our great manhood is still alive. And I don't see why the world of the next century shouldn't call us flesh up to us. So that's that one moment where we really mean to be at one, not only with God, but with man. It's the business of man. Now, I will stop here in a minute, and I won't come back to it anymore, but would it be worthwhile for us, hidden from the world, but known to God, that we devote ourselves first to this at one man, God, and true idea man, the big sense of man? Wouldn't it be worth everything for this world? Wouldn't it be that which would come out of it? It won't be a deed. It will be the signs of man that will be born to us. Wouldn't that be worth more than all the other things that seem so important to us today? And wouldn't that be an answer to the world? Wouldn't it be worthwhile giving our heart to it? Is there something which each one of us can think out to be bigger than this? Somebody can think out something bigger. Let's have the bigger one. But I don't think that somebody at the present moment can think out something bigger than this subject. Why shouldn't we have a love, business, to give it birth, even if it takes months, even if it takes years? That doesn't matter. Because when we sow a seed, the most important time is sow it and take it root. The rest comes out by it. So the most important point is that we are married in truth of mind and truth of spirit. Give it birth. The rest comes out, goes out. Just as you have in the paragraph on obstetrics, which is laid out in the seventh, you have only in the first should sound dramatic. The should teacher and student should be familiar with the obsessor by this time. And then in order, I go through it every day, but I never know the text, to attend properly the birth of the new child or divine idea. You should so detach mortal thought from its material concept and then the thing is off. Then the birth is faint, and it is natural, and then it can no more be stopped, and then it blows up everything contrary to it, and then it grows and becomes fairy, and then it speaks for its mother. So is the first two, the Mary. You see, exactly, there is a law behind it. Exactly as it is, it presents its truth as mind, truth as spirit. The first two tones is the woman soul, giving birth to it. Then it grows by itself. Let's ponder these things. Let's not read them anymore. Let's ponder them. Let's ponder them over and over so that we not only can state anymore a sentence which we have read, but know it and feel it and have it warm and have it big in our minds, that it is big and it grows big. Then I think the world must call us blessed. Well, tomorrow is another day.